I seen light once myself, you know. That's how come I started riding around on horseback, preaching all these little country towns like I have. Of course, I've done a lot of preaching. I've heard a lot of preaching. And now you know them preachers. They always preaching against something. And it seems that drinking is one of the most popular things there is to preach against. I remember this one old preacher was giving a demonstration on the sin of alcohol. He took this worm, dropped it down a glass of water. Old worm just wiggled all around her and swam all around. He took her out, dropped her down a glass of whiskey. Old worm just wiggled once there and laid out stone dead. He asked his congregation, he said, "Now what does that prove?" Some old boy in the back stood up and said, "I'll tell you what it proves. It proves if you drink a lot of whiskey, you won't have worms." That's right. And then the old preacher, he kept right on the preaching there. He kept right on the preaching, and he got to where he was wrapping up his sermon. And he said he thought the congregation ought to go and take all her whiskey and throw it in the river. And then he asked if anybody had a request for a closing hymn. And some old boy in the back stood up and said, "Yeah." He said, "Let's sing, 'Shall We Gather at the River.'" That's right. Now, you know, when you're out there riding the backcountry, spreading the light of the gospel, sometimes you need a little extra protection against engines and snakes and other varmints. And every now and then, you'll run across an ornery cowboy that don't want to kneel in prayer. And you've got to persuade him a little. That's right. Now, speaking of prayer, reminds me of the time at old Reverend Brown was a holding a revival down around Stinking Creek. And right there in the middle of his sermon, this tall, distinguished-looking feller come a-walking down the aisle and sat down in the front row. Old Reverend Brown, he kept right on a-preaching. He kept right on a-preaching, that's right. And he finally couldn't stand it no longer, and he asked his feller if he was a-born again. And that feller, he stood up and he said, "Sir, I'll have you know that I'm a theological professor." Old Reverend Brown looked at him, he said, "Well, for Lord's sake, son," he said, "I wouldn't let no little thing like that keep you from getting saved." He said, "The Lord, he can forgive you for that too." Well, another time, me and old Ferd Wellman, we went down to this here revival. They was holding down this little country church where they was handling rattlesnakes. And we got there kindly late, and we was standing in the back, and the preacher was saying that if a feller got in the spirit, that he could handle these snakes and they wouldn't bite him. I told Ferd, I said, "I don't believe I want none of that spirit." He said he didn't either, but they kept getting closer and closer to us with them snakes. And they was the people handling them things all around us there. And I got a little bit nervous, and Ferd did too. And all of a sudden, I felt something on my leg, and it weren't water. And I looked down there, and one of them rattlers had done a wrapped his sip around my boot. And I started to dancing around there and trying to shake that thing off. And them people thought I was dancing in the spirit. And they brought me another snake. They did. And they was trying to wrap that thing around my neck. And we was pinned up against the wall there. And Ferd said to me, he said, "Lord, have mercy, son." He said, "We're going to have to get out of here. But this place ain't got no back door in." I said, "Well, that's all right with me, because I'm a-fixing to make one right here." An old circuit rider friend of mine wanted to settle in a big city church. And at his interview for the job, he said to the pulpit committee, he said, "I know your Bible. Take Adam. As he was walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho,
And along come the Queen of Sheba in a fast-moving chariot. She said, "Piece of candy, go for a ride." He jumped in. He jumped in, and right there in 1 hour, she gave him 10 changes of raiment, 300 pieces of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold. And they commenced riding. And they come to a large oak tree. And one of the lower hanging limbs caught his hair. And he was a swinging by his hair. And along come Jezebel with a pair of scissors and snipped it off. And it all fell on the stony ground. And you ask me if I knows your Bible. And it commenced to rain. And right there it rained for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the water got deep. So he hid himself in a cave. And a flock of ravens brought him cornbread and quail. He sustained himself. He continued on his journey. Till he finally come to the Leaning Tower of Babel. And he looked up top and there was Eve. He said, "Well, throw her down." And they throwed her down. He said, "Well, throw her down some more." And they throwed her down 70 times 7. And from the fragments thereof, they gathered up 12 baskets full. Now you ask me if I know your Bible.
Hey, did you kids ever hear of the woman's Christian Temperance Union? Well, the Woman's Christian Temperance Union was organized to campaign for women's rights and against drinking. One day, one of the pious sisters accosted this wobbly cowboy on the street, and she said, "Sir, what are you going to do when you meet the Lord with whiskey on your breath?" Old cowboy, he steadied himself up for a minute, and he said, "Lady, when I meet the Lord, I'm going to leave my breath down here." You know, it seems like a lot of religious people is spending too much time talking against sin, not enough time talking for the Lord. Like, it's a preacher, he walked by this group of young boys that was playing with this old mongrel dog. He said, "Boys, what y'all up to?" One of them little boys said, "Well, we swapping lies, and the feller that tells the biggest one gets the pup." Preacher said, "Well, boys, I'm shocked." He said, "When I was a boy, I'd have never thought of telling an untruth." About that time, all them little boys said together, "Well, you win, preacher. The dog's yours." Yeah, that's right. I'm going to tell you another time, this little boy. He was walking by this big hole where they was digging a foundation for a new church. And the preacher was there. And he said, "Well, preacher, what's this hole for?" Preacher said, "Well, son, we're going to take all the sinful people that's in this town that's been a-smoking and a-drinking and all them other sinful things, and we're going to throw them in that hole." The boy said, "Well, I reckon if that's what you want to do, that'll be all right, but who's going to be around here to cover him up?" One time, old Reverend Wright, he rode way back up in the hills there, just below Snake Pit and right past Lizard Lick. And when he finally got there, there wasn't but one feller that showed up for the preaching. Old Reverend Wright, he asked him if they thought he ought to go ahead with the service, and old boy said, "Well, Reverend, I'll tell you." He said, "When I put some hay in a wagon, and I go down on the pasture to feed the cow, and ain't but one cow that shows up," he said, "I feed her." The old Reverend Wright, he got right with it there and had a whole service, including a full-length sermon. And when he got through, he asked that old boy what he thought. Old boy said, "Well, Reverend, I'll tell you." He said, "When I put some hay in the wagon,
And I go down to the pasture to feed the cows, and there ain't but one cow that shows up. He said, I don't give her the whole dang load, I'll tell you, by golly. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Yeah. I knew this preacher once that persuaded his congregation into redecorating the inside of the church. And at the next church meeting, he was complimenting everybody on a job well done. But he said, there's one more thing we need to make this sanctuary even more beautiful. He said, all we need now is a chandelier. After a couple of minutes of silence, the chairman of the board of deacons, he stood up and he said, Reverend, he said, I don't believe we can get that there chandelier you was talking about. He said, in the first place, can't nobody spell it. He said, in the second place, by golly, even if we get one, there can't nobody here play it. And he said, in the third place, what this church really needs is better light. Daggone, I'll tell you that, by golly. That's right. Well, one time I was applying for lodging down around Bone Holler, and the feller that run the place, he asked me if I was a Baptist preacher or a Methodist preacher. I said, well, what you want to know for? He said, well, I want to take care of my guests the best I can. He says, I know them Baptist preachers is real particular about their own bed and grub. And he said, I know them Methodist preachers, they're real particular about the feed and care of their horse. I thought about it a while there, and I said, well, now that you mention it, by golly, I'm a Baptist, and my horse, he's a Methodist. Yeah, well, I asked this old preacher of a frontier church once, I said, how many people can your church sleep in case of a flood or an Indian attack? He said, well, I don't know rightly for sure. He said, we sleep about 400 here every Sunday. Yeah. Another time, I passed by this big city church. You know where they got them glass bulletin boards out in the yard? Got the saying for the day on it. And the saying for the day this day was, if you're through with sin, come on in. And don't you know someone had done went and took lipstick and wrote down below there, if you're not through, call 614-0773. The other day, Grandpa went to the doctor to get one of them physical examinations. And after the doctor examined him, he told Grandpa, he said, the best thing you can do is to give up the smoking and drinking and wimping. Grandpa looked at him a while there and he said, well, he said, for Lord's sake, Doc, you know I don't deserve the best. What's the second best? Yeah, he's wild, I'll tell you. The other night, he was out with the boys playing poker. And he was having so much fun at the time slipped up on him. It's 5 a.m. before he knew. Now, Grandpa's still a pretty fast thinker. That's right. So he called Grandma on the phone. And he said, sweetheart, he said, don't pay the ransom. I've escaped and I'll be home in 30 minutes. Yeah, well, one Sunday, Grandma, she stayed home from church to fix Sunday dinner. And when Grandpa got home, she asked him, she said, well, how long did the preacher preach? He said, oh, about an hour and a half. She said, well, what did he preach on? He said, you know he never did say. Yeah, Lord me. Well, another Sunday, Grandpa and Grandma had the preacher over for dinner. And at the dinner table, the little granddaughter, she said, Grandma, ain't this a roast beef we're having for dinner? She said, yes, dear, why do you ask? Little girl said as she looked at the preacher, well, that Grandpa, he's such a tease. He told me we was going to have old mutton head for dinner. Yeah, well, one time, Grandpa, he heard one of them there, you know, them intellectual type preachers, you know, preach a sermon, a scholarly sermon where he set forth all of his proofs for the existence of God. And after he got through, he asked Grandpa what he thought of the sermon. Grandpa said, well, Reverend, is a mighty fine sermon, but in spite of everything you said, I still believe there's a God. You know, my Uncle Zeke was an engine fighter. One time he told me about this prayer he prayed right before fighting the tribe of Comanches. And he prayed like this. He said, now, Lord, he said, now, we're about to do battle with vastly superior numbers of the enemy.
Besides that, Lord, there's a lot more of them there is us. And now, Lord, we'd mighty like for you to join us and be on our side and help us. But, Lord, if you can't do it, for Lord's sake, don't go over to them engines. Just lay low and stay out of sight. You'll see one of the dangest fights you ever seen, I'll tell you. that's the way he prayed. I'm just telling you the way he prayed. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, Uncle Zeke was quite a character. That's what you got to realize. Yeah. One time he was hanging out down there at the railroad station. Wasn't hurting no one, just hanging out down there. And this year, somewhat annoyed city slicker come up and said, how come this year railroad station's so far from town? Uncle Zeke looked at him and said, well, I don't know right for sure, but I reckon they want to get it as close to the tracks as they could. Yeah, well, riding the circuit, what I've done is I've had a chance to collect a few announcements that I've actually heard in different churches around the circuit. I just thought I'd share a few of them with y'all here tonight. Now, this first one here says Tuesday at 4 p.m. there'll be an ice cream social. All the ladies are giving milk, please come early. Yeah, well, this next one here says Wednesday, the Ladies Literary Society will meet. And Ms. Johnson will sing, "Put Me in My Little Bed," accompanied by the pastor. I actually heard that one time. Now, this next one I heard around Easter time, and it says that this being Easter Sunday, we will ask Ms. Brown to please come forward and lay an egg on the altar. That's going to be a little rough on her, I reckon. But this next one says that the services will close with the song "Little Drops of Water." One of the ladies will quietly start, and the rest of the congregation will please join in. Hey, they're going to have a baptism, I reckon. I don't know. This next one says, next week, the ladies' aides are having a rummage sale. This is a chance for all the women of the congregation to get rid of anything that's not worth keeping, but is too good to be thrown away. And then it says down here, please don't forget to bring your husbands. Yeah, well, here's the last one. It says that the ladies of the church have cast off clothes of every kind, and they may be seen in the church basement on Friday afternoon. You know, one time me and my brother Lamar, we went to one of them all-day camp meetings, and we heard a preacher there preach the wildest sermon we ever heard. He said, "I know your Bible. Take the 12 apostles as they was eating their last supper in Bethlehem." And Peter said, "Where's Zacchaeus? Maybe he's caught in an olive tree. Let's go to Jerusalem, see if we can find him." So they all rode to Jerusalem, and the people spread palm branches in their way. So they had to go over the wall. And as they walked into the temple, there was Zacchaeus sitting in the midst of the doctors, asking them questions. And they said, "Come on, Zacchaeus, we got to go to your house and eat supper." And Zacchaeus said, "Who is my father and my mother?" And Peter said, "They're waiting outside to see you." So on the way, they all got hungry, and they seen a fig tree, and they cursed it. And they said, "We ain't eating that." And the heavens open, and a sheet come down full of wild beasts and creeping things. And a voice said, "Them figs are okay, you can eat them." So they ate them figs, and they continued on the journey, and they finally saw Bathsheba. She was taking a bath. And they stopped. Beep! And they said, "Come on, Bathsheba, we're having a last supper." So she saddled herself a camel, and she stretched forth a hand, and the waters parted, and they all rode through the pool of Siloam on dry ground. Now you ask me if I knows your Bible. That's what he said. Them are doing
That song there about the Wabash Cannonball, that reminds me of the time me and my brother Lamar took our first train ride. And what happened was her ma, she packed us a lunch for the trip. And she had done went and took and put a banana down there in each sack. Now, the thing is that Lamar, he don't get off the farm much at all. He never had seen a banana in his whole life. Never had seen one. Well, along about 10 o'clock, old Lamar, he got a little hungry, and I showed him how to peel his banana down there and everything. And just as he took his first bite, the train went through a tunnel. And I heard Lamar yell, he yelled, "Have you ate your banana yet?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, for Lord's sake, don't do it. I ate the first bite of mine and went stone blind." Well, yeah, well, that Ma's always a-thinking about us. And I got a letter here from her I thought I'd share with you. And it says, "Dear son, just a few lines to let you know I'm still alive. I'm writing this letter slowly because I know you can't read too fast." That's what it says. "And you won't know the house when you come home. We've moved. Hey, your father's got a lovely new job with over 500 people under him. He's a-cutting grass at the cemetery." "Hey, your brother, he's got a new job, too. He's a teller at the bank. He mops the floor and tells people to move over." "Yeah, there was a newfangled wash tub in the house when we moved in, but it ain't working too good. Last week I put in 3 shirts and pulled the chain, and they ain't come out clean yet." "Yeah, well, your sister Mary, she had a baby this morning." "Yeah. I ain't found out yet if it's a boy or a girl, so I don't know if you're an aunt or an uncle." "And it's signed your loving mother. And then there's a P.S. down here. It says I was going to enclose $5, but I'd already sealed the envelope." You know, back home where I come from, the moon comes over the mountain in mason jars. We got some pretty dedicated drinkers back home, we sure do, and you can always tell them dedicated drinkers. They got a callus across the bridge of their nose where they turn that jar up, you know. Well, one time, my brother Lamar was visiting this old boy back in the hills, and old boy handed him a jar of moonshine and said, "Here, take a drink." Old Lamar said, "No, I don't believe I will this morning, thank you." Next thing Lamar knew, this old boy held a gun on him and went, "I said, take a drink." Well, that kind of shook Lamar up, so he took that jug and he turned her up there and he said, "What's the worst tasting liquor I ever tasted in all my life?" That old boy said, "Yeah, I know it is. Now you hold that gun on me while I take a drink." Yeah. One time this old boy from Texas was visiting us there on the farm, and he was bragging about how everything was so big in Texas and all there and everything. And him and Lamar was sitting out on the front porch one day. Old boy asked Lamar how many acres of land we had. Lamar said, "Oh, we got 3 acres here. We got 2 in corn, 1 in tobacco." Old boy said, "Yeah, well, back home in Texas where I come from," he said, "my land's so big," he said, "I can get in my truck at sun up, and I can drive all the way across my land and not get to the other side before sundown." Old Lamar said, "Yeah, I know how it is. I had a truck like that once myself." Sure it is. That Lamar, he's quite a character. He really is. The other day, he was cleaning up one of them psychologist's offices. And this year, a woman come a-running in there, and thinking Lamar was a doctor, she started telling him all this wild stuff about her life. And after about 30 minutes, she finally shut up, and she said, "Well, doctor, what do you think?" Old Lamar said, "Well, I ain't exactly sure, lady, but as far as I can tell, you're crazy." She said, "Well, I've never been so insulted in all my life. I want a second opinion." He said, "All right, by golly, you ugly, too." That's what he said. One time, Uncle Zeke, he took Cousin Buford to the big city for the first time.
And they was standing in one of these here hotel lobbies where they got them there newfangled elevators. After a while, this a big old fat woman got on that elevator. She took that thing all the way up the top floor. Couple of minutes later, that same elevator come right back down to the lobby, and this beautiful young girl come a-walking off there. About that time, old Uncle Zeke, he looked at Buford and said, "Son," he said, "the next time we come up here," he said, "let's bring him all along and run her through there one time." You know, my brother Lamar is really into cars. And he's done went and bought himself another car. He done went and bought himself a brand new 1971 Buick. It's got dual ashtrays and lift up door handles, high speed mud flaps. He just loves it. It's kindly a fire engine red color. And other night we was out of riding around that thing and we ended up at the Dew Drop Inn. We dropped on in there and ordered up, and on the way out, don't you know, someone had done went and took and flanged yeller paint all over the front of his car. That kindly got to Lamar, and he walked back in there, and he said, "Who in the Sam Hill has done went and took and flanged yeller paint all over the front of my car?" About that time, this big old boy come a-walking out of the back room, about 5'40". Didn't have nothing on but bib overalls. He walked up to Lamar, and he looked him right square in the eye, and he said, "I flang it on there." Old Lamar said, "Well, I just want to let you know, you first coach drive." That's what he said. He sure did. Last winter, about this time, me and my brother Lamar went ice fishing. We got out there on the lake, and it was all frizz over there and everything. We cut a hole in ice and flang our lines in. Wasn't catching a doggone thing. Little old fella over here next to us was a catching fish left and right just as soon as he could throw his line in. After about 30 minutes, we got kindly tired of it. We walked over and said, "Hey," said, "how come we're over there ain't doing a thing but freezing our dogs off? And you're over here catching fish left and right as soon as you can throw your line in. Now, what's your secret?" Old boy went, We said, "You want to say that again? We didn't quite understand you." He went, We said, "Son, you're going to have to run that by one more time." Old boy went like this. He said, "The secret is you got to keep your worms warm." That's what he said. You know, back home, Buford and his wife ain't getting along too good. The other night, Buford jumped out of bed to answer the phone, and his wife heard him say, "Well, I'm sorry, you'll have to call the Weather Bureau or the Coast Guard for that information." He jumped back in bed. His wife said, "Well, Buford, who was that?" He said, "I don't know. Some old boy calling up here wanting to know if the coast was clear." What he said. The other day, Buford come running up to me, and he said, "Lord have mercy, I'm scared to death." I said, "Well, Buford, what's wrong?" He said, "A feller wrote me a letter the other day, and he told me if I didn't stay away from his wife, he's going to shoot me." I said, "Well, Buford, all you got to do is stay away from her." He said, "Yeah, I know it, but the thing is, the feller never signed his name." Yeah. One day he come running up to me, and he was all excited. I said, "Buford, what you so excited about?" He said, "My wife's on a diet, and she's a-losing 4 pounds a week." I said, "Well, Buford, that's wonderful." He said, "It sure is, and the way I figure it, in 15 months, I'll be completely rid of it." Thank you.
Hills.